It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we hear from a singer from Cabin Creek who recently participated in the West Virginia Humanities Council's Folklife Apprenticeship Program.
I'll tell you, I remember being 3 years old, and literally every Saturday, me and my grandmother would watch American Bandstand. And when I saw American Bandstand, I knew that's what I want to do.
We'll have that story coming up in just a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia Senate President Mitch Carmichael is planning to address public education during a one-day special legislative session this weekend. But as Dave Mistich reports, some reforms remain highly controversial, and work on education reform is likely weeks from completion.
A Senate spokeswoman says the chamber will begin its work at 10 a.m. Saturday. Members are set to consider the 144-page Student Success Act, which Carmichael unveiled last week. The bill would boost school employee pay, create an open enrollment policy for counties, provide mental health training for teachers, and allow for 4 charter schools, among other reforms. Leaders of teacher and service personnel unions say their members will be at the Capitol Saturday to rally against the measure. They're opposed to some of the bill's proposals, including charter schools, a change to what would be considered during a layoff, and withholding pay during a strike. Senate Democrats unveiled their own separate proposals for an education overhaul earlier this month. Their emphasis is on mental health services, teacher pay, and vocational training. House Speaker Roger Hanshaw split his chamber into 4 select committees on education during a one-day return to the Capitol last week. He said the House will not return to work until June 17th, which would overlap with interim committee meetings. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
After almost 15 years, the legislature came through on a promise made to West Virginia's horse and dog racing industries. As Liz McCormick reports, revenue dollars that had been allocated elsewhere are flowing back to the industries. As part of our occasional series Effective from Passage, we explore the potential effects of Senate Bill 13, which officially went into effect late last week.
It's a warm, clear spring evening here at the Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in Jefferson County. 7 horses line up at the starting gate. Dozens of onlookers watch from inside and outside the casino, hopeful their chosen horse will win the race. And they're off. The horses and their jockeys fly down the track. The announcer calls as one horse takes the lead. Oh, but then another after that. And then they near the finish line and a horse named Princess Penelope has won the first race of the night. One of Jefferson County's top 3 lead trainers is Tim Grams. Princess Penelope is not his horse, but he's trained many horses like her over the years. He and his wife Judy run Graham's Racing Stable in Charlestown. He has 50 horses on his farm and 40 horses at the track. A good portion of them belong to clients, but most belong to him.
We work with all of them every day. We get up probably right around 4:30 in the morning. My wife, she gets to the racetrack before I do and checks out everything. But my wife gets the whole operation started in the morning before I get there.
Trainers like Graham's, as well as breeders, owners, groomers, jockeys, veterinarians, and others, could feel the effects of Senate Bill 13. The bill returns $11 million annually to the state's 4 racetracks. Charlestown Races in Jefferson County and Mountaineer Park in Hancock County race horses, while Mardi Gras in Kanawha County and Wheeling Island in Ohio County race greyhounds. That $11 million will be divided and given to each track throughout the next year on a monthly basis, and it will continue every year after unless the West Virginia legislature decides otherwise. The funds can be used to support more race days, or employ new people, or potentially provide raises. It could help support more breeders, and it can affect the winnings on a particular horse or dog. Grams believes it could also provide incentive for more people in the industry to do business in West Virginia.
I really think that it's going to bring owners back into this business. There'll be more opportunities to race with extra days, and already with the legislation passing, you can already see that the tempo has changed around here, and people seem a little bit more relaxed because they're not worrying about stuff every day.
Senate Finance Chairman Craig Blair of Berkeley County was the lead sponsor of Senate Bill 13.
More than anything, it was the legislature honoring a commitment.
Blair explains more than a decade ago in 2005, West Virginia faced a large deficit. The state's workers' compensation debt reduction fund was $4 billion in the hole. Blair says at the time, the state legislature was looking for ways they could fill that hole, and they looked to areas like the racing industry.
They were just a pot of money sitting out there that could be reached into to help fund that $4 billion unfunded liability.
The legislature pulled from other industries too, such as coal, but lawmakers promised that once the debt was paid off, they would no longer tap into those revenue streams. And that's eventually what happened. The racing industry is the last one to see dollars returned. Graham says the lost dollars over that 14-year period affected his business and many others because fewer people were coming to West Virginia to breed, train, or race horses.
Probably the first couple years, it wasn't that big of a change. But after that, they look over and see Maryland's doing great, Pennsylvania's doing great, and the next thing, they take their mares from your farm. So with all the other businesses up and starting to thrive, our revenue as a whole, it went down. So, you know, it was harder to bring people in the state when we didn't have the money and we didn't have anything to offer them.
And Senate Bill 13 faced some pushback within the legislature. A handful of lawmakers tried to reroute the $11 million to support education. But Blair argues the revenue wasn't the legislature's to bargain with anymore since the workers' comp debt had been paid off.
My number one reason was to keep the legislature's promise. But the number two is it's an economic engine that drives both tourism and the entertainment industry for that, but then agriculture as well.
The most recent economic impact study done on West Virginia's racing industry was conducted by West Virginia University's Bureau of Business and Economic Research in 2014. It found that the thoroughbred and greyhound racing industries in West Virginia contribute more than $320 million annually to the state's economy and supports 7,300 jobs. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Charlestown.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Mostly cloudy skies today. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Some storms could be severe. Highs today in the 70s and low 80s. Chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies. Chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 70s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the Clay Center in Charleston, presenting An Evening with David Crosby and Friends Thursday, May 30th at 7:30. Tickets and information at theclaycenter.org. Doris Fields, also known as Lady D, is a blues and R&B singer who currently lives in Beckley. She likes to pass on her love of music and recently participated in the West Virginia Humanities Council's Folklife Apprenticeship Program with Xavier Oglesby. Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly has this profile of West Virginia's Lady D.
Did you ever fall in love with a man that was no good? Did you ever fall in love with a man that was no good?
What you're hearing right now are the soulful sounds of Doris Fields, known as Lady D, an R&B, soul, and blues musician and songwriter living in Beckley. She's a daughter of a coal miner. Her dad moved to West Virginia from Alabama at 10 years old and spent 50 years in the mines. She says music has been in her blood since she was a young girl, growing up in Cabin Creek, West Virginia.
I've always wanted to be a singer since I remember being 3 years old, and literally every Saturday, me and my grandmother would watch American Bandstand. And when I saw American Bandstand, I knew that's what I want to do. Of course, I started out singing in church, like just about everybody else, but R&B was always what I loved growing up.
Lady D is a performer and a working artist with a passion for singing the blues. So much, in fact, that she's written a play about the one and only Bessie Smith. Smith was the most popular female blues singer of the 1920s and 1930s, earning the nickname the Empress of the Blues.
I love Chicago blues, and I talk about classic blues a lot because that was the Bessie Smith era in the 20s and 30s when women were really out front in the blues and they wore the fancy costumes and everything. And
the play is a one-woman show called The Lady and the Empress, in which Lady D takes on the persona of Smith to bring that music to a new generation. She's been doing her one-woman show for 17 years now.
I learn new things about Bessie all the time, and she's a great inspiration to me. We've been together all this time, and like, you know, it's sort of interchangeable. I forget sometimes saying, you know, that she is me and I'm her.
For some, the blues might seem old-fashioned, but Lady D loves to share the connections between the blues and modern styles of music, like R&B and country, or even rock and roll.
The first thing I usually ask kids is, what kind of music do you listen to? And they'll name all these different things. And of course, in this area, it's usually country. They say they listen to country, they like rock and roll, or they like hip hop. And then when I say, well, this all came from blues, they don't believe me. And then we'll get to talking about it. And I'll, you know, we'll do a couple of exercises around how blues was, I don't want to say invented, but how it was created. And then kids, they get it right away.
She breaks down songs to show students chord progressions and rhythms from blues songs and show them how the same riffs show up in rock, pop, and country music. This year, Lady D participated in the West Virginia Humanity Council's Folklife Apprenticeship Program, which connects emerging artists to mentors in their tradition. Lady D was paired up with gospel singer Xavier Oglesby of Beckley. She told us that at one time, Christians called the music, like the blues, the devil's music because of its secular themes. But Lady D and Xavier often found more similarities than differences between gospel and the blues. Revisiting some of the old songs they learned in church growing up, they found reminders and refrains of the so-called devil's music.
It wasn't so much me teaching Xavier anything about blues, but we were sort of reminding each other about where we both came from. Like I said, he's a great gospel singer. He comes from a family of ministers, and he's a minister himself. But he also, his family, his own juke joints. We don't see a lot of that distinction that people make, you know, between like blues is devil's music and, you know, gospel is God's music, and it's all God's music.
Amazing grace, how sweet the
That was Xavier and Lady D singing together. And we'll close out the show with a blues song Lady D wrote.
West Virginia, back on Cabin Creek, lived a woman, Lord, that woman could sing. She was 35, wild as a woman could be.
That was Doris Fields, a.k.a. Lady D, singing her song Rockstone Blues. Inside Appalachia's Jessica Lilly narrated that story, and Eric Douglas helped produce it. You can hear more stories about folk life and how our traditions evolve as they pass from person to person in the latest Inside Appalachia episode. Find it at wvpublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.